Anybody in here ever been through the fire before? Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody in here ever came out of the fire? Say amen.
Amen.
We have a firefighter for us this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so very thankful that He fights fires. He walks through fires and He saves us from fires. And I'm glad that one day I will be delivered, am delivered now from an eternal fire in a place called hell. And I hope you are as well. Well, I'm trying to switch gears, going from singing with all my breath to slowing down and making announcements. So it happens every time. I've been taking that first song and sitting down there, then coming up, and I may go back to doing that just to save me a little bit of wind. But anyway, I'm so glad to see everybody here, and I want to say thank you for those that are watching on Facebook Live this morning. I don't ever want to neglect saying thank you to all the viewers and of course, we have listeners too, www.calvaryministries.org. We have a live audio stream there. And I'd like to continue to remind us that we have a radio station. And of course, it works probably only in the old town here of Powder Springs. You cross all the railroad tracks going up to Brownsville Road. May not work that good, but we're just trying to get the gospel out. And we're so thankful for our live ministries we have here. Also, I want to say that next week we'll be having anywhere between 3,000 to 5,000 postcards sent out in our community. And this is from the Victory Baptist Press. Brother Don Rich is partners with them. Of course, you know, getting the Bibles out that he and Miss Carla has. And they give us the postcards. They pay for the postage, all for free. And but what we're going to do for them is we're going to give them a little gift back to them, and to show our appreciation for that. And so there's a little QR code on these postcards. You scan it, and it has the gospel presentation on the front. There's a picture of a cross laying over a big gap between two mountains, and speaking of Jesus being our Savior, being the bridge builder. So looking forward to that. Of course, on the back has our church information and all. I wanted to say all that to say this, that we're moving forward. We're moving forward. And if you don't believe us, I know you do, but if you don't, I hope that at least painting the church was a token of our desire to move forward. And here in the next few weeks, we're going to pick up some of the tasks we've been wanting to do, along with that, as far as sprucing up the inside of the church, this front, the level, the hallway, and the foyer. We're going to get that going, and so I said it, and so you hold me accountable. We're certainly doing that. We had a generous donation that was given just for that, and so we appreciate that. You know who you are. God bless you for doing that. And so is everybody ready to move forward? Say amen.
Amen.
No more ruts, no more spinning of the wheels. We want to give everything we got because Jesus could come back any moment, and we want to be found faithful. This morning there's a few requests, a couple updates I want to mention. And so I want to mention those, and then we'll pray, and I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Miss Marianne Sandvi, she had her foot surgery this past week, and she did well on that. I'm sure she's at home recovering. And so I called to check on her, and she was drinking coffee and eating carrot cake. And so I guess she's doing pretty good. Miss Ruby Harper remains in the hospital. Is that right, Miss Claudia? She remains in the hospital. I think one or two complications from the surgery. Okay. Blood clots. And that's why they keep you after surgery for observation, for just that very reason. But let's continue to remember her and her family. Miss Connie's brother with the pancreatic cancer, let's continue to remember him. And when we pray, good to see Brother Harold with us this morning. And he's had some car trouble difficulty, but I told him last week, I said, we miss you here, we're going to get you here. And so we worked out some arrangements, but then Brother Harold got his own ride here. I believe his daughter brought him this morning. And so just so good to see Brother Harold. Let's remember Brother Harold's granddaughter, if we could, Miss Anna Kate Hall. Miss Anna Kate Hall, she's 15 years old. And I already asked Brother Harold if I could mention this. She's getting ready to have her braces off, and she has a lot of mouth sores in her mouth right now. Don't know if it's connected to that or not. She's been running a fever. She has some kind of autoimmune disease disorder going on since she's been alive, and the medication she's on, her she's swollen in her face and all. And they're talking about possibly going to well-known clinics such as the Mayo or up in Rochester for help if they have to. Just broke my heart when Brother Harold told me that last night. And let's lift her up in prayer if we could. Remember tonight, our food, fellowship, and devotion. And Brother CJ will be bringing that lesson for us tonight. And y'all watch out. He has something good tonight. And so we're ready. We're ready for it. And thank you, Brother CJ, for doing that. All right. Well, do we have anything urgent in the congregation?
I'm going to say something about tonight. There's still a sign-up sheet. We're doing a little different. We usually do all the food, but we're just doing a little different. If you could sign up to bring, we're doing like appetizers, sandwiches, finger foods, chips, that kind of thing. So there's a sign-up sheet down front, and if you haven't signed up and you plan to come tonight and you would like to, so Christy and I have an idea to make sure we have enough for tonight. Thank you
for that commercial, Miss Mint. All right, brother. Sir. I don't think so, but if you feel willing to give, it's always accepted, brother. Thank you, Brother Harold. Thank you for your kindness, brother. Thank you for your kindness. All right, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to have his will and his way this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we just praise you for who you are. Today, we ask that you would protect our minds as we worship you. There's hundreds of things that are going on the outside of the church, things we have to do, places we have to be. And God, that could easily steal, Lord, the seed that God wants to plant this morning as the parable of the seed and the sower. Today, we just lay ourselves open in your hand, and we ask, God, that you'll just touch us and mold us and shape us, even in just this 1 hour of togetherness. Pray that you'd bless the singing, bless the message, bless the offering, bless everything that is said and done here today from start to finish. When we go home tonight and we lay our heads on our pillows, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be content and our souls will be satisfied. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 393. Page 393, when we all get to heaven. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. All the last, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will be whole. Soon
say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. There'll be no choir practice this afternoon because we're having our last Sunday of the month fellowship, and we look forward to a great time in the Lord this evening. Look forward to what Brother CJ has for us and just a great time of fellowship. Please come back and be a part of the service tonight. It'll be a great time, and we look forward to that. Please be much in prayer for the service this morning. Let's pray for Pastor this morning, that the Lord would deliver through him the message that we need today. Brother CJ was praying this morning in our Sunday school class, and he was honest, and we would all have to be the same way. Would we in a few weeks remember every single thing that was said in the service this morning? Probably not. We might not even remember it by the time we get home this morning. But God, give us a nugget through our pastor today that we can take and that we can use, something we can hold on to. We face some very hard times. School starts back, I believe, this week, and we need to lift all of them up in prayer. But God, give us a nugget, something that we can hold on to that we'll need in the days to come. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer, asking God's blessing on the service, the offering, the gift, the giver. The Lord knows exactly what we need. What an opportunity we have, and it's so good to have some that are back with us this morning that haven't been able to be with us in a couple of weeks, and we're so thankful for that. But let's just lift the Lord up in a time of praise, and let's ask Him to be in our service. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here today. Lord, we could be at home sick. Lord, we could be, Lord, in a funeral home somewhere. But God, we are in the house of God today. Lord, how we praise You and thank You for that this morning. Lord, we do pray that You just give us something. Lord, we need something that we can hold on to in this ever-changing and challenging world. Lord, give us Your word today, Lord, that we can, Lord, just feast upon. Touch our pastor, speak through him what we need to hear. Lord, be at the choir as we sing, accept our worship and our praise. Lord, thank You for, Lord, a good crowd that is here this morning. Lord, thank You for a good crowd that we have, Lord, this morning, and the choir seems to be growing. And Lord, we praise You, and we thank You for that. Lord, thank You, Lord, for young people that will come and say, hey, Brother Allen, do you mind if I come? I want to be a part of the choir. Lord, that thrills me. It excites me. Lord, thank You again for those that are here this morning. Lord, those that are on, Lord, Facebook this morning that are watching the service there. Lord, thank You for that avenue. Lord, I pray now that You'd bless the gift, the giver, the offering. Lord, everything that takes place here today. But most of all, Lord, if there's someone that does not know You as personal Savior, Lord, may this be the day they'd realize that and come to know You as the Lord of their life. We'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
this song, I just want to say that this morning, when we're getting ready for church, well, anytime, CJ always has music playing at our house, but every song that came on the radio or through his phone was about storms and how I heard the song that Lily sings this morning. We were getting ready. I'm thankful for it. Sometimes when we're going through those hard times, it's hard to be thankful in that moment. But I am thankful that those are the times that he molds us, he makes us, we grow. We're not going to grow in the times when it's easy. We grow in the hard times. And even though it's hard and you're in the middle of it, I can tell you, I've been through some things, and at the time I was not thankful. I was not at all thankful, and I was asking God why. But when weeks and months begin to go by, you look back and you're like, oh, you begin to understand maybe why you went through those things. And you look back and you see, well, that's where I grew. That's where I learned. That's where I begin to know that he will take me through the fire. I may feel a little burned during it, but I made it through it, and I'm still here, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that when you're in the storm, we have a God that's right there. He just wants us to look for him, and he's there. Sometimes we bury our head in the sand when things are going on, but I pray that if you're going through something, that you'll look up and see he is there, and he will hold you. He will walk you through the fire.
Understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find home, the center of my grace, the keeper of my grace. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. With a little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face a storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is sunshine, and my ship is tossed and torn. He's the eye of the storm. Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words. He is the great I am. He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm.
So we're going to have her come around, her and a couple of our young ladies. And so you pray for them as they sing. Hope you're blessed. Talk to song.
Thank you.
do want to say this morning before we get into God's Word, we'll have a time of prayer together after the service for our back-to-schoolers, school starting back. And I also wanted to thank those who helped the Bendy's move yesterday. And you know who you are. We're a blessed people this morning, aren't we?
Amen.
So, so blessed. And the Lord has been good to me. I remember when I first got saved, it didn't take me long to realize I was still on planet Earth and I would still sin and stumble. And it wasn't long at all after being saved. I fumbled and dropped the ball and I said, "Lord, if I was you, I'd just kill me and take me home." And this November 19th, the first time I said that was 20 years ago. And he hasn't done that. Maybe because he already knew what I would do before I did it. He saved me anyway. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he's the Lord and I'm not. And that's what I want to thank the Lord for. This morning we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Thank you, Miss Melita, young ladies. Wonderful, wonderful song. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer and then we'll read verse number 1, 2, and 3. Father, one more time in Jesus' name. That powerful, lovely name, we humble our hearts and ask that you touch us. Lord, we're not wanting to make a show of any kind, but we're just wanting to be that vessel, Lord, that you pour out of this morning to your people. We've all come together this morning to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use me, use your word, and I pray that you'd connect with the hearts of your people. And I pray that someone would get saved. And maybe if there is a believer, a Christian that's here that has strayed, that they would come back to you. We love you today, and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Luke chapter number 15. Notice verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And then verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, this morning we have Jesus speaking to a large crowd. It was a mixed crowd. It was mixed with publicans, sinners, Pharisees, and scribes, naming them as the Bible just named them. They're all sinners. Verse number two, if you notice, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So we see the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. And because of the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, and because they would not hear the plain gospel, Jesus spoke to them all in parables. J. Vernon McGee, a wonderful pastor, preacher that's in heaven now, but He has great commentaries, and he's a wonderful one to follow. J. Vernon McGee said, "A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning." And so, if I could say it this way, the reason Jesus spoke in parables is kind of like when people would reject the taste of medicine, and so you have to mix it with food. Can anybody relate to that, having to take some form of medicine, but it tastes so gross, you can't stomach just the bare medicine, so you got to mix it with food. The people's ears were closed to the gospel, so he spoke to them in parables. He made earthly stories that carried heavenly meanings, and it got right into through their ears and down into their hearts. And so Jesus has a way of speaking to the heart. And he spoke to their hearts. Again, he used parables. In this chapter, we have three parables of lost things. Lost things. Verse number 1 down to verse number 7, we have a lost sheep. Verse number 8, 9, and 10, we have a lost coin. And then verse number 10 and verse number 11 to the remaining part of the chapter, verse 32, we have the lost son. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And with these lost things, we have a problem. The problem is they were lost things. But on the same token, we have a praise, Brother Eddie, that they were found things. There were things that were once lost, but then they were found. These stories this morning can picture the salvation of people. But also, I believe, they can picture the straying of the saved. I've particularly heard preachers preach all three, people being lost and then people being saved that have strayed. And I believe that there's a picture of both in all three parables this morning. So, with that being said, I'm just going to give it out and let the Holy Spirit apply it. That's really the best thing to do. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, God's lost and found. God's lost and found. I remember in middle school, we were living in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And I had a Atlanta Braves starter jacket, one of those starter jackets, the pullovers, had the pouch in the front. Man, they were on the racks everywhere back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I remember I got up from class one day, and I left that jacket in my seat. I went back, and it wasn't there, so I was in a panic. Where did I go? I went to the lost and found. And in the office, they had a section that was a lost and found. And so I went, and I said, I lost my Braves jacket, and there it was. I had left it behind, and but yet it was collected, and it was brought to the lost and found, and I was able to receive it. God this morning has a lost and found. He has a lost and found. And those that are saved at one time in your life, you were lost, but he found you. And there's even times in life as a believer where we may stray from time to time. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has a way of sniffing us out, so to speak. He has a way of coming after us and rescuing us and bringing us back to his side. God's lost and found. I want to look at these three parables. There's no way that I could preach this whole chapter in the next 15 minutes. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go as far as I can go, and that'll just be the end of the sermon. I want to mention these three parables of lost things, and all three parables have three things in common: something that was lost, something that was found, and then there was rejoicing. Number one, let's look at the lost sheep. Verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's verse number 4 down through verse number 7. And this is the earthly story, and the heavenly meaning has to do with God going after the lost people of this world. In verse number 4, I want you to notice the lost sheep. He says, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? And then the end of this verse says, That which is lost. And so we see that there is a lost sheep here. And let me just say this, that sheep can be known for their ignorance. Sheep, they can be known for straying and just coming out from their fold and just aimlessly, wondrously walking to and fro. One of the bad things about leaving the fold is that there's wolves out there. And the possibility of a sheep leaving the fold and being on its own and being attacked by a wolf is very likely that that sheep will never come home. So we see here that there's a lost sheep. Again, we can look at these parables in two ways. One, of a person that was lost, that never knew Jesus, that is a creation of God but not a child of God, that does get found and saved. But on the same token, we can look at this parable as one that is saved, that has strayed from the fold, and that is living their life out in this world with all the raging, ravening wolves that there are. And I want to say, the moment that we ever choose, if we choose, and God forbid that we choose, that we're going to live life on our own ways, our own terms, if we ever come to the conclusion that it doesn't pay to serve God and we think we're just going to stray from the fold and get out in this world and do our own thing, I want to say that the world is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. And many people who choose to leave a church, who choose to follow Jesus from afar, all kind of have the same kind of testimonies. And that is that they got a really big beating from the world. And so we see this morning that there's a lost sheep. But not only when it comes to this lost sheep, the sheep was lost, but there was a shepherd pursuing the sheep. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, notice these next three words, and go after that which is lost until he find it. And so we see a shepherd pursuing a sheep that is lost. And we know that this shepherd is going after his sheep. Doesn't matter if it was, doesn't matter if he had 5 sheep and 1 out of 5 was missing, or 100 sheep and 1 out of the 100 was missing. Each sheep was precious to the shepherd. And we know that in the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, don't turn there, but we know that this pursuing shepherd uses 2 things to pursue his sheep. David says, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we know that this rod could be used for fighting off those wolves that are trying to attack the sheep. And primarily that would be the use of that rod, I would say. Others have said that that rod is like a correcting device or a correcting rod for the sheep when they're getting out of line or alignment. But also there's the staff. And we know that the staff has a crook in it. It has a curved piece on the end. And so if that sheep ever leaves the fold and gets close to that edge, then the shepherd would use his staff. You know that. He'd get close to that edge, and the shepherd knows it's about to go over that edge. And so he would grab the sheep by using the crook part there in the shepherd's staff and bring them back. And I want to say this morning that this is applicable to your life, to my life. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, Jesus has performed miracles in your life, regardless if you realize it or not. The Bible says that he reigns on the just and the unjust. I didn't realize the times that God had saved me from going over that edge while being lost until I got found. Being involved with drugs and alcohol, being a high school dropout and living the nightlife, there are times that I thought for sure that I'd either be in jail or die. And I had several friends, I've been to several funerals of those who did die because of drugs and alcohol. But you see, this pursuing shepherd, he will pursue those that are lost because he wants them to be saved. And so God will work in your life, in my life, during the times that we don't know him, so that he can bring us to his side and save us. But even after we get saved, and particularly knowing God, the times where we think we know it all, the moments where we say we're just going to do a little veering off the path and sojourn for a while, just a small amount of time, and then we'll get back on, it's during those times when we think we know it all, we're getting off the right path, and we're trying to make things work outside the blessing of God, that's when, even then, that's when we start to make a ruin and a mess out of our life as believers. But even then, that's when he uses the staff to bring us back. That's when he even uses that rod, not only for the enemy, but he uses that rod to correct us. I'll just throw that in there. He uses the rod to correct us. He uses the staff to protect us. And this morning, looking at this lost sheep parable, we see that the sheep was lost, but then we see that there was a shepherd pursuing that lost sheep. I don't know who's here this morning in person, maybe who has strayed from the Lord. We're not here to beat you up over that. Maybe you haven't gone to church as much as you'd like. Maybe you're on Facebook and watching, and you haven't been back to church since the pandemic. We're not here to beat anybody up. But the question is, have you strayed from your close relationship with Jesus? Have you unknowingly just drifted away from him in his side where there's that peace, rest, and comfort? Well, we have a pursuing shepherd here. Now, there's a third thing I want to mention about this lost sheep. Not only it was a sheep that was lost, then there was a shepherd pursuing this lost sheep. The Bible says, and go after that which is lost until he find it. But then I see a sustained sheep, a sheep that was sustained. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. The Bible says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You see, this lost sheep had been lost for a long time. It had been running from the enemy, got away from many wolves, even almost went over the side of the mountain. Probably this lost sheep had went many days without eating, restless nights, and all the rest of it. But when the shepherd found that sheep that was lost, he put it on his shoulders. And don't you know, when that little sheep was on the shoulders of its shepherd, immediately there was physical rest. And then there was, don't know what kind of mind a sheep has, but then there was mental rest. And just the very fact of knowing that this sheep is on the shoulders of the shepherd, having ran from wolves and almost fell prey and almost went over the edge to destruction, just to be back on the shoulders, just to be near this shepherd, immediately there was a sense of great protection. The best place for you and I to be is near the shepherd this morning. Let us all stay away from the ends of the earth. Let us all this morning stay away from going over the edge. Let us not give in to our evil inclinations this morning. You say, what are you talking about, evil inclinations? Well, you do know that we are depraved people. And you do know that we have flesh that is craving fleshly things. Our flesh is not saved this morning. Our flesh craves the things of this world. Our flesh wants to get addicted to things. Our flesh wants to stay out of church. Our flesh says, no, God, I have this one. You don't need to take the front seat in my car. You don't need to take the steering wheel in my life. I have this. Let us not learn by default, but let us this morning stay with the shepherd. Let us stay with him. Let us rejoice and be content that we have physical rest and that we have mental rest and that we have his resources and his protection while being near the shepherd this morning. Some people say, well, I'm just not content with Jesus. Well, I'll just sit over here and pray for you because you got a long road ahead of you. You see, let us come to the Lord for our contentment. Let us, as David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But what does it take for a sheep to get to a thou shall not want, or I shall not want? What does it take for us to get to a place where Jesus is enough? And listen, I'm not up here preaching self-righteously like I got it all figured out. I'm learning day by day as a sheep. And there's times even in my life going through this wicked world that I get close to the edge because we're living in a fallen world and we're depraved human beings. And there's times where I'm tempted to almost go over the edge. That's why it's important to stay way back here from the edge. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm out here tempted to knock off a bank on Monday mornings. But what I'm saying is, I'm human. You're human. And the devil has baits for us humans. And if we do not stay close to our shepherd's side, which would be back here in a safe place, and if we just fumble away our opportunities of being with him, then we are living on the edge. And when something does float by, we're going to grab it. That's why it's so important to stay near the shepherd this morning. Again, notice in verse number 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Wow, the sustained sheep. At one time, it was a lost sheep, and then it was a pursued sheep, and now it's a sustained sheep. But I want to go a step further. In this parable of the lost sheep, there was a special gathering. Well, the sheep thought that was it. I'm safe, I'm sound, I'm secure. But look on verse number 6, in verse number 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Can I say something? If we have a brother or sister in Christ who has strayed, and they come back to the fold, it's not a time to ignore them or point our fingers at them and say, I can't believe you're actually back in God's house. You worthless thing. You went out there and did all that. I wouldn't forgive you. That's why I said that I'm glad I'm not God and I'm glad you're not God. And so the key is when a person does get back right with God and they are back in the house of God, that we say, brother, sister, we're so excited that you're back in church. We're so excited that you laid your burden down. We are so excited that your addiction is gone and you're back in God's house. Let us do this as the parable, within the parable, says they threw a party, basically. Let us throw a party. Let us be thankful for brothers and sisters who get back right with the Lord. There was a special gathering. And whenever we hear good news about someone who blew it, let us be happy that they got back right with the Lord. When you hear that news that they blew it and they've been straying from the Lord and they're gone and now they've turned back to God, let us be happy for them. Let us rejoice. You know, it does say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, if we see a brother overtaken in a sin, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meaning, if you see a brother who strayed, you ought to tenderly, graciously, kindly love on them back to Jesus. But we're living in a time where people like to point fingers. People like to say, I can't believe they're doing what they're doing. And truly, we can't believe why people do what they do at times. But at the end of the day, given the right circumstances, and but for the grace of God, we'll do the same thing. And that's the truth. And so we ought to tenderly and graciously, like a doctor is the idea in Galatians 6:1. We ought to repair them back to Jesus and wrap their wounds with grace and pour mercy into their hearts by the love that we have and we're operating out of for Jesus. We see this morning that there's a special gathering. We see a sustained sheep, a shepherd pursuing. Then we see a sheep that's lost. That's calling them off backwards and forward. This morning, there's the lost sheep. We're talking about God's lost and found in three similar things in each account. Let's move on to the lost coin. We have a lost sheep, but what about the lost coin? Look in verse number 8, if you would. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So now we have the lost coin. You say, what's so similar between the lost sheep and the lost coin? Well, three things. A coin that was lost, a coin that was found, and a coin celebrated. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And notice the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, lose one piece. She has a lost piece within her coin collection. Or she has a lost piece within the money she has. Now, the Bible says she has 10 pieces of silver. Well, that's a small sum. But you see, when that's all you have, every piece is vital and it is vitally important. The sum was small, but it was all that she had. So each silver piece was so precious, she had to find it. And so we have a lost coin. Let me say something, a few things about this lost coin before we get into a coin found. This coin was lifeless. It was lifeless. It had no inside life. It was a coin. I'm looking for a coin. I don't know why I'm looking for a coin on top of the pulpit. But let me just use these glasses. These glasses are lifeless. They're just laying there. Lifeless. Just like that. That's how that coin was. Just totally, no inside life. These glasses have, there's no inside life. There's no inside life on the right arm. There's no inside life on the left arm. These are just, they're lifeless. That coin was lifeless. It was just laying there. Can I say before you and I got saved, we too were lifeless. We had no inside life. There was no joy. There was no peace. There was no contentment. There was no rest. We had no direction. We were just lifeless. Just lifeless. Now, if you go into the ICU, there are people on life support. But let me ask you a question. How alive are they? They're being kept alive. They have life, but they're being kept alive. They don't have, they're not that lively. They have life, but they're not that lively. Before we got found, we were like this coin. We were lifeless. No inside life. No joy, no peace, nothing along those lines. So this coin, it was lifeless, but it was buried. I want you to notice in verse number 8, it was buried in dirt. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. So it was a lifeless coin, but it was a buried coin. It was buried in dirt. Can I say this morning, before you and I got saved, we too were buried. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were despondent to the things of God. We could not discern the things of the living God, because there was nothing on the inside to connect Him to. The only thing that connects us to God is the Holy Spirit this morning. And we have the earnest of the Spirit. We have a down payment, not to confuse anybody, but just saying that the Scripture talks about we have the earnest of the Spirit. One day He's coming back for that which He's purchased. So there's this lost coin, and it's lifeless. It's buried in the dirt. We too were dead in trespasses and sins. But how about this one? This coin didn't even know it was lost. Do you know there's people in this world that don't even know they're lost? They don't know they're lost. And so they're aimlessly going through this world. They're lost. On one sense, you can call them a lost sheep, but they don't belong to God. They're a creation of God, but not a child of God. There was a time where I was lost, and I didn't know I was lost. Many of you didn't know you were lost until what happened? The gospel was preached. Until that glorious light shined in your heart. Notice in verse number 8, we see not only a coin lost, but a coin found. Or a coin searched. Let me back up. A coin searched. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, notice this, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And so she went looking for her precious lost coin. And so the first thing she did was she lit a candle so she could see. Remember those times in your life before salvation and even after, when the gospel, God's word, was in your heart, or God was coming after you and the light of His gospel, you would go to do something and you couldn't do it. It'd be like you're kicking your foot against the pricks, as God said to Paul. It's the glorious gospel being shined in our darkness. It's going to do what we want to do, but His light giving us light during that time and revealing that we're living in a dirty place, revealing that we need to get back to Him, back to the shepherd's side. And so we see that this woman, she lit a candle and she went looking for her lost coin. This morning, you and I, we were lifeless. We were buried in dirt. We didn't know we were lost until the glorious light of the glorious gospel was preached and it was shined into our dark hearts. And that's when, and only then, we said yes to Jesus. Praise the Lord for that today. Not only when she searched for this coin, she used light, but she used a broom. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, the gospel, and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. If I could say it this way, my interpretation, Justin Hale's interpretation of this, would be this. If the light is the gospel, the sweeper is the Holy Ghost, Brother Eccles. If the light is the gospel, the sweeper is the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, Brother Ceylon, that even as being a believer, a Christian, I haven't always done what I should do. But there's never a time where the sweeper doesn't come. There's never a time where the Holy Spirit doesn't come to me and he sweeps upon my heart. And he's trying to remove that dirt, trying to get me to a clean place where I can worship God and be close to him and feel his presence. There's not a time where the sweeper hasn't come to my house. Maybe you're listening this morning and you haven't followed the Lord like you wanted to, or maybe you made some mistakes and you're hearing the gospel this morning. The light is being shined. And then you go home and you try to do the right thing, and yet you're back into the rut you were in before you came to church, and you're in an uncomfortable place, and there's no contentment and there's no peace in your life. You know you're a child of God, but what you're experiencing is the sweeper, the Holy Spirit. He will make our lives uncomfortable until we return unto him. He will, you know, you can this morning grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You know that? There's a difference between grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. If I grieve the Holy Spirit, that's something that I do that offended him. But if I quench the Holy Spirit, that's something that I don't do that offended him. Sometimes in church, Holy Spirit will say, "Testify, Brother Justin." And the Bible tells us, it's right in accordance with Scripture, that we are to offer up the sacrifice of praise, giving God glory. In essence, the Scripture says in Hebrews, the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. And then I say, no, I'm not going to do that. The times I've done that, Calvary's probably thought I was a maniac. I probably look like a maniac when I praise the Lord. But you know what? Somewhere along the way, I just stopped caring. You know that? Everybody's different. But somewhere along the way, I just stopped caring. But there have been times where I've quenched him from praising. And then there have been times where I've quenched him for not looking at a certain scripture that I know he wanted me to preach on Sunday. And that's why I wrestled all the way till Sunday. And then finally landed in the same place. And maybe I didn't look at it as deep as I should have. I quenched him. There are times when we quench the Holy Spirit. Something that he wants to do that we don't do. But then there's times where we grieve the Holy Spirit. Things that we do that offends him. Oh, listen this morning. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us drinking from other fountains but his fountain. The Holy Spirit don't want us receiving peace and contentment from anybody or any other source than from him first. Listen. Drugs and alcohol wear out. They may claim they give a little bit of happiness and joy, but the bottle is always empty. And the desire for more is always there, but it's the wrong fountain. The pill bottle always runs out, and you look at that last pill and you're thinking, that's the last one. Then what am I going to do? Jesus never runs out. He's the one that satisfies the souls. The alcohol will run out. The pills will run out. The drugs will run out. Money will run out. If some think, well, he hadn't hit on money yet. The money will run out. A lot of people go after money for satisfaction. And listen, there's nothing wrong with money until money has you. It's for the love of money. There's nothing wrong with money itself. God has used money. And God uses money for the operation of the ministry. But there's a difference between having money and money having you. So there was the, I don't know, I seen on TV, the Mega Million. And I don't know if there was a winner or not. Illinois. I just want you to ask yourself a question. And I'm not, listen. I'm not preaching against gambling, although I do not believe in gambling because of the addiction of it. Just like anything else. Now, there may be one or two in here, if by chance, for funsies. For funsies, huh? You got a ticket, and you won it. Now you're on Channel 2 News. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that would bring you closer to God or away from God? Do you think, yes, $1 billion, I can't wait to teach Sunday school? There's a little imbalance there. Well, I'll tell you what I would be thinking. Man, I've been wanting a pickup truck for a long time. Boat that goes on the back of it. Camper. We're going camping, brother. Bums or millionaires, we're going. Amen. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is, you know what Solomon said? And I'm paraphrasing here. He said, Lord, don't make me poor that I might curse you. But don't give me so much that I might forget about you. Give that which you want me to have. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. And while this old flesh would love to have a, Brother Bobby, a Ford F-150 brand new. And while I would love to have a bass boat that I don't know how to drive and scared to ride in it, there's one thing I love more, and that is my daily bread, meaning that God will give me what He wants me to have, and if it, that Dodge Ram, Ford F, whatever, if it comes to my house and it comes through Him, glory be to God. But I just don't know if I hit the lottery. I just don't know if that will motivate me to really dig in the scriptures or not. So Solomon said, don't give me too little. Don't give me too much. Just give me what you want me to have. And so saying that, all of money, it wears out. I chased that rabbit for all that for this. That money wears out. Drugs wear out. Alcohol wears out. Sexual relationships, that's the going thing in our world today. All that stuff wears out. The only lasting thing is Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Let me mention this. So we have a coin found, and it was through the light and sweeping. It was lost, and then there was a celebration, verse number 9. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so there was a celebration over this. I'm just going to mention the last one, and we'll be done this morning. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Of course, this is God's lost and found. The lost son, you know the story, verse number 11 through 24. There's a lost son in verse number 12. He was an arrogant son. He was a prideful son. He thought he knew it all. This is a whole message within itself. Give me what's mine, Dad. I've been on the farm long enough. I've got the world figured out. You promised me a portion, and I want it now. If I'm misreading that, shame on me, or my wrong be upon me. And so he gave it to him. Because you know what? Sometimes some lessons have to be learned the hard way. And I wonder if when that dad gave that inheritance over, if he knew his son was going to fail. But with just some stubborn young ones, and even older ones, they've just got to learn the hard way. Here you go, son. I've done all I can do with you. I've tried to raise you the right way. Here's your inheritance. And so there was a, Bible likens him to be a lost son. So he was a lost son. He used this terminology where it was proud and arrogant. Look in verse 13, riotous living, what he was involved with, that latter part of verse 13. Riotous living is just extravagant living. You ever seen that on the title poem commercial? I will give you money, give us your title. First thing that popped my mind. Extravagant living. Boy, he had friends and he had things to do while he had that money, the money that he labored not for, but his dad did. He wasted it with riotous living. Verse number 13. Verse 14 through 16, we see a desperate man. He was so desperate that he joined himself. The Bible goes on to talk about. In verse 15, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He was desperate. He had to eat. He needed money. He needed means. Verse number 17, we see an awakening. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's house had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He came. There was an awakening. There was a turning point. He knew what he had to do. And I like to think raising children, conditioning children for this world, giving them the gospel, trying to give them a firm foundation. God forbid if my child goes out and rebels and has the same kind of circumstance living in the pig pens of this world, that they would ultimately know that what they have at home is much better than what's out here. The firm foundation that was built, this young man realized there was a firm foundation, there was safety, there was security for all those years. He didn't appreciate it then. It took him to getting out in the world and spending all of his daddy's hard-earned money and ending up in the pig pen to appreciate what he had at home. And in a lot of families, that's the story of the prodigal. They didn't appreciate what they had at home until they got in the world. My prayer is that never happens to mine or yours. Let me hurry. Verse 20, we see the father's love. And when he arose, he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Could have crushed him, but he kissed him. I won't tell the story of Billy Graham over again, other than saying when his daughter, I believe it was Ruth, maybe wrong. I've told the story 100 times. Anyway, she had a divorce, went through all that. She was afraid to come home, fearing her dad. And she made it home. He was on the front porch, and he had open arms. He didn't criticize. He didn't point his finger. He didn't say, "You're not allowed around here anymore, young lady." He said, "Come here. Let me give you a hug. You've been whooped enough from out there." That's what Jesus is doing this morning. He says, "I'm not here to whoop you. You've had enough of that out there. I want to kiss you. Come here. Let me give you a kiss." The Bible says in verse number 22 that there was some new clothing. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet." Had to clean him up. He was dirty. That ring is a symbol of ownership. "That's my son." At least in one way you can look at it. There's the best robe, the shoes. He's fully cleaned up. He's dressed and he's ready for the celebration. Because in verse 23 and 24, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Again, three things in common with all three of these parables. Something lost, something found, and then rejoicing. This morning, that's the message. God's lost and found. Thank God that he goes seeking for the things that are lost. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you give liberty during this time of invitation. Let someone get saved. Let some saved person come back to the cross. Let someone who just wants to praise you come and just praise you. Whatever the situation is, the altars are open. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you come.